The name of the lesson this week is Follow the Leader, and it's how can I be a better follower of those God puts in leadership. And our background passage is from chapter 3, verse 7 through chapter 5, verse 31. And our lesson is focused in a few verses in chapter 4 that we'll go over and a few verses in chapter 5. But first I want us to focus on Hebrews 13:17. I'd like for everybody to look that up. It's in the back of the Bible in the New Testament, kind of toward the end, right before James and 1 Peter. Hebrews 13:17. Is everybody there? All right. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. So this is in my Bible, you know how it has headings? This falls under practical instructions. In the first few verses of 13 is a... I love Hebrews anyway, but chapter 13 is another good chapter. The first one, the first few verses talk about guidelines on how to love one another in the community of faith. And then verses 7 through 19 are instructions about difficulties in the church. So that's an important verse for us today, I think, because that's the guideline that we should think about when we are thinking about following our leader. And leadership in the church is mainly what we're going to talk about today. But it says, again, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to watch over our souls. I'm adding a little bit. To do this, and to do it with joy and not with sorrow. Because if we do it with sorrow, if we make them feel like it's a burden to watch over our souls, it's not going to be for our benefit. That makes sense? If they, you know, when somebody's begrudgingly caring for you spiritually, then you're not going to get any benefit out of it, and neither are they. And God certainly doesn't get the credit for something like that. So, with that in mind, and with that instruction, let's look at our verses. Having heard the word from the Lord, which I think is what we just heard about how we're supposed to be, I want us to take a look. Sometimes you hear about a leadership crisis in a church, and this church is no stranger to leadership crisis. And I'm kind of thankful me and John missed all that, but... because I don't know that we would have been very Christian about some of the stuff I heard about. So it's probably a good thing the Lord sent us away. Sometimes the... Listen to this, though. And I'm not saying it, and I'm not relating it to anything that went on. I'm just saying that this church is not a stranger to crisis, so this should be an easy lesson for us to kind of wrap our arms around. Sometimes the problem is not a leadership crisis, but a fellowship crisis. Fellowship. That's a different word, isn't it? It means a congregation who won't support godly leaders through encouragement, prayer, giving, joining in the work of the church, and expressing appreciation for its leaders. Now, I don't think that this church is, by any stretch, has a problem with fellowship, because I think we all do that. Sometimes a leader may shirk his or her task, may not do them as they should. Typically, when that happens, other people will say that these leaders should obey God and do what they're supposed to be doing. But just like everybody else, a leader needs encouragement and sometimes a little push in the right direction. The Lord wants us as His people to support our godly leaders. So, and that's evident in Hebrews 13:17. So our first verses that we're going to look at in Judges today is under the caption, Encourage Leaders to Listen to the Lord. So we're going to encourage our church leaders to listen to what the Lord tells them and to do it. So we're going to look at Judges 4, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 6 and 7. It says, After Ehud's death, the Israelites again did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord turned them over to King Jabin of Hazor, a Canaanite king. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Sisera, who had 900 iron chariots, ruthlessly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a prophet who was judging Israel at that time. And then skip down to 6 and 7. One day she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, who lived in Kadesh in the land of Naphtali. She said to him, This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you. Call out 10,000 warriors from the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun at Mount Tabor, and I will call out Sisera, commander of Jabin's army, along with his chariots and warriors, to the Kishon River. There I will give you victory over him. So, she's a prophetess, which was pretty cool, I thought, that a woman was felt like, you know, the Lord felt like she was good enough to be a prophetess. And she gets a word from the Lord, and she tells Barak that the Lord wants him to do. Judges 3, the verses prior to this, 3, 7 through 31, tell us of there's three cycles of disobedience in that in those verses. That's why it's important for us to kind of always read our background so we can kind of keep it going in our minds. There's three cycles of disobedience. There's three cycles of divine punishment. There's three cycles of them crying for help, and there's three cycles of God delivering them again. I mean, it's just over. They're just repeat offenders, big time. It also introduced us to the first three judges. Othniel, remember him? He was Caleb's son-in-law. Well, he ended up being Caleb's son-in-law. He was the first judge. And then Ehud was after him. And then Shamgar got one verse, but he made it into the Bible. I think, you know, he made it in by one verse. So for 80 years during this period, they were peaceful. And then they were evil again. You know, peaceful, evil, peaceful, evil. The Lord took the next step and delivered them into the hands of this King Jabin because of their they went through another cycle. This is the fourth cycle of their disobedience. So Deborah was a woman, she was a prophetess and a recognized leader in Israel, and she called Barak and told him to take command. And it wasn't a command from her. It was truly a command from God because she received the word from God. And God told him, I'm going to lure Jabin and his army and then into a place, and then I'm going to let you take them over, and you'll win the battle. And God himself had, and I think Barak lost sight of this, that it wasn't Deborah that chose him. And it wasn't because she was a woman that she felt like she needed a man to do the work. Because I think if God had told Deborah to do it, she would have done it. It wasn't any of that. It wasn't a feminine thing. It wasn't the Lord told her and she doubted herself, so she thought a man might make a difference. It wasn't any of that. God told Deborah he wanted Barak. So he was a reluctant rescuer. He had received a commission from God and resisted it. So how many times have you in your life felt like you have received some sort of message, a word from God to do something, and you didn't do it? Because you were a reluctant rescuer, for lack of a better word. Because you know, if the Lord wants you to do something, 9 times out of 10, it's way out of your comfort zone. Way out. and it's something you've probably never done, or maybe only done once or twice, and you can't figure out how you're going to do it, but you have to trust Him and have faith in Him.
That's like you when you didn't want to start risking and you're doing the one for God now.
Well, I did jump out and do it. I don't do it very much, but I will. But I can now. You know, I can. So, but I don't come every Sunday, I'll be honest with you. I don't come, you know, it's been a while since we've come. But I feel like that this class contributing the cookies and doing all that we do help with outreach in that manner, because I know that it's difficult for all of us. It's difficult for me personally just because of work, and I mean, I just have to say no to some things, and that's one of the things that I say no to. But I have shown myself that and proven to myself that I can do it if I let the Lord lead me. That's right.
Most of us in here are not able to get out there and walk through that.
Well, that's right, and I've always felt like it was a failure on my part for not being able to, not feeling comfortable to do that. But that's not what I'm called to do. There are people like my mother, Evelyn, that, you know, she can do it. It's just because it's something that she has. It's her gift. That's a gift that she has.
Most of us in here have done it
in the past, right? That's right. And I just have finally, come to the realization that I'm not failing by not always doing it. I'm just, you know, it's just not something that is my gift. So some leaders do resist the call sometimes, and they need encouragement just like anybody else. In times of crisis, we need proven leaders. We need people that can get us through to the other side of a crisis. And this is true on a national level. We're talking about our president and our country, our local communities, and then our church.
Yes,
we do. And we don't really know, you know, it used to seem like in the past on a national level that there was always a proven person that, you know, we're going to go after him, we're going to vote for him, and that's the one, and he's going to make a difference, and he did make a difference. But now, we don't really, I mean, we know we want something different than what we got, but do we know for sure that the one that's going to, may take his place is the right one anymore? You don't really know. So just have to hope and pray that he is. So get personally involved. Let's look at our next verses. It is verse 8 and then verse 10. So she's told Barak that God's called him to lead this army. And he says, I will go, but only if you go with me. And then skipping over to verse 10, it says, at Kadesh, Barak called together the tribes of Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 warriors went up with him. Deborah also went with him. So he agreed to lead only if Deborah would go with him. We don't know all of Barak's life, his circumstances. We don't know what made him be reluctant to just say, yes, I'll do it because God wants me to do it. We can't assume that he was a coward, like I said earlier. Possibly he wanted Deborah there because he knew she had such a strong relationship with the Lord that if she was there, then the Lord might be readily there to talk to in case he needed something. She would not have wanted him to command the army if he didn't have the proven skills, if he didn't have what it took. She would not have wanted him to do it. And so we don't really know why Deborah rebuked him. They don't really go into an explanation about why she said she'd go. In verse 9, she tells him she'll go, but he's not going to get the credit for the victory the recognition that he would have. But Deborah did know, what she did know for sure is that God wanted him to do it. because that was the word that she got. So she knew that that whatever she had to do, I came to the conclusion that if it meant that she had to go in order to get him to do it because God wanted him there, then that's why she, you know, that's what she did, what she had to do. So, by Deborah going, she was well thought of. Earlier we said that, you know, she was a leader in the Israelite community. So by her going with the troops, what an encouragement. What kind of, that's a great encouragement for them to show that she was willing to go. Plus on top of the fact that she was a woman too. Nothing encourages a leader more than having willing followers. In the church, respected and followed leaders can have more confidence that God really has called them to do his work wherever he might be at that time, he or she. So let's look at our next verses. Praise the Lord for godly leaders, and that's in chapter 5. It's verses 1 through 5 and then 9 through 11. On that day, so they let's go back and look at verse 23 in chapter 4 to lead up to what we're about to look at. It says, so on that day, Israel saw God defeat Jabin, the Canaanite king. And from that time on, Israel became stronger and stronger against King Jabin until they finally destroyed him. So that's where we are. So on that day, Deborah and Barak, son of Abinoam, sang this song. Israel's leaders took charge, and the people gladly followed. Praise the Lord. Listen, you kings, pay attention, you mighty rulers, for I will sing to the Lord. I will make music to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you set out from Seir and marched across the fields of Edom, the earth trembled, and the cloudy skies poured down rain. The mountains quaked in the presence of the Lord, the God of Mount Sinai, in the presence of the Lord, the God of Israel. And then verse 9 through 11, my heart is with the commanders of Israel, with those who volunteered for war. Praise the Lord. Consider this, you who ride on fine donkeys, you who sit on fancy saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road. Listen to the village musicians gathered at the watering holes. They recount the righteous victories of the Lord and the victories of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord march down to the city gates. So this is where it was the stretch. Credit for this victory belonged to first and most importantly to God. Deborah and Barak sang this song of praise, much like the songs of praise in the psalm. There's different verses that are considered a song. And then Miriam sang after the crossing of the Red Sea, she had praises to the Lord for getting them across. The lyrics of the song have some important things to say about godly leadership. We should always praise God for godly and gifted leaders. And I think we do that as a church. We're always thankful when we get a good godly leader and somebody that follows after God themselves. When people follow such leaders, it is to their credit and is evidence of God's favor. People who put their faith in God are given good leaders. Because if you only lean on God to find your leader, then he will give you a good leader. People who put their faith only in human leaders too often find they are condemned to suffer under bad leadership. And I want to go over some of these where the verse said, the earth trembled and the heavens poured the rain, the mountains melted before the Lord, even Sinai. It alluded to the shaking of the Mount Sinai when the Israelites were there to receive the covenant. Way back. She's going way back. In other words, Deborah's song looks back to the time when God made Mount Sinai shake and when the Israelites marched through Edom, Moab, and into Canaan. He went before his people, giving them great victory. So that's what, when they came marching through, remember it's thousands upon thousands of people, Mount Sinai shook to show the strength of God. And that's what she refers to. And then it says, In verse 9 through 11, my heart is with the leaders of Israel. She not only praised God, but she also felt great kinship and affection for the leaders God had called into action. And the part about you ride on donkeys, who sit on saddle blankets, who travel the road, possessing donkeys was often seen as a badge of wealth back then. But it also could it also represented authority. So the point is that those who have had success in leadership need to remember that their success is not from themselves, but from the Lord. And then in the final analysis, the righteous acts of the Lord and the righteous deeds of His warriors in Israel are one and the same. It was the people who obediently followed and fought, and it was God who gave the victory. That's the most important thing that we have to remember, that they did it because they followed God, and He told them ahead of time, you're going to win. If you do what I say, you're going to win. I mean, it's a win-win situation. So, and they did, and that's the most important part, that it was God's victory to give or to take away, and they did. Does anybody have any questions?
Is she like a warrior too? Like a
well, you know, I think so, because, in our introduction last week to Judges, it talked about that they were not your typical judges that, like we recognize, that sit on a bench and that they get out and they may have to fight. They may be in some sort of military leadership. So she was willing to go. And I truly think the reason that she was willing to go is because she knew that's what God wanted. And so if she hadn't have gone, would Barak have not gone? Probably not. And that would have changed history. It would have changed God's plan. It would have put a little kink in God's plan. And he would have had to go another route. So because of the intervention of humans. And so I really think that that's why she chose to go. So
she listened to God.
She did.
Follow her heart. Listen to God and follow her.
Instead of getting in them little groups.
Yep.
I'm a thorough believer. A church would never have any problems if they didn't get in a little group to get started. If they do what the Bible says.